Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you in here. We're also simulcast around the world on the transmitting jewel of the South tonight on Internet, and we're glad to have you in all your downloads and your micro rebroadcasters around the nation. A lot of people carry Pastor Buddy and our program tonight. You don't want to miss it. We're going in to, if you will, part four of the incredible series that we're doing here on the text of the two Jerusalems. Tonight we're going to settle and actually take a look, if you will, on the program tonight. We're going to dwell on Jerusalem present day. We're going to take a look back at the time that the Messiah walked here and had his time, if you will, there to view the temple, what he thought about it, who came out of it. You're really going to be surprised. I really believe you are. You're going to be quite surprised with what we're going to actually get into here tonight. And that is, we're going to get into the things about the Canaanites, with whom the Israelites came into contact during the conquest by Joshua in the period of the Judges. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these were not, these were crafty people. You know, the seed, if you will, the seed of Cain, and that's what a Canaanite is. Christ encountered them in his message and his reign his time, his sojourn here up on the earth. He ran into, matter of fact, his whole problem was trying to separate the Israelites, his children, from the influence of the Canaanites. Now, the Canaanites were in total control of the Sanhedrin, which was the government, be like our federal government, of Israel. And so then, we want to take a look at that. It's incredible how that Satan is, now, you're going to be appalled at what I'm fixing to say. You're going to say it was a holy place. But what does the word sodomite mean? Now, remember I kept saying in the text and our gestalt that we laid here, I kept talking about the sodomites. Now, what does that have to do with the temple at Jerusalem? Well, number one, it basically talks about, well, it actually talks about in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, that the place that he was crucified was called Sodom. Now, I'm going to tell you why. There is a secret message that the devil don't want out here tonight, and we're going to point it out to you in our studies. And we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Now, again, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now, let me give you the Hebrew. The verse reads in the Hebrew, there shall be no Kadeshah of the daughters of Israel. Or there shall not be a Kadesh of the sons of Israel. Now, male and female prostitutes, I'm going to back this up and run it by you again, because you probably never heard a message like I'm going to preach it to you tonight, Yahweh willing. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomite. Now, that's the way the King James has got it, of the sons of Israel. Why was the Messiah so adamant of what was going down at the temple? And we're going to tell you, actually, somebody he delivered, he actually saved one of these prostitutes, the Kodeshah. She was practicing Kodeshah, or temple prostitution. Now, why was temple prostitution? You say, buddy, that's appalling. Surely you don't tell me that that God's holy temple. Well, you really think it was God's holy temple when he called it a temple of Sodom? You think they didn't know what was going on in the heavenlies, the spirit worlds? Well, I really think probably that they did. They did know what was going on. And by knowing what was going on in the temple, it's evident that they're telling us from the days. Let me refresh your memory on a few scriptures here. As we get into the account of the Canaanites with whom the Israelites came into contact, and why did he, our Creator, why did he want us to avoid the Canaanites? Make no marriages with them? Do not learn their ways? And if you read Numbers chapter 25 in the Bible, it was the Phineas priesthood account of what they were supposed to do to these sodomites that were in the land. Now, the religion of the Canaanites was an agricultural religion with pronounced fertility moffets. Their main gods were called the Balaam, which means lords, and their consorts the Baalot. Now, the Balaam societies lurking in the temple. No wonder that Israel liked to go over there. Now, there's something behind this goddess and the Baal gods. The purpose was that they were to service, if you will, produce holy children. Now, I know this is going to sound strange to you. Sounds just like an excuse to go over and have sex with the ladies. Did you know that there's a prophet in the Bible and that his sons resorted to this evil? And Yahweh pronounced judgment upon him and his household for doing such things? They were actually doing it in the temple. They had converted Yahweh's place, and now this has happened many, many times, and I would have to preach probably 5 or 6 hours to get through the scriptures, just to get through the scriptures of the religion of the Baals and the Baalots, the male and the female prostitutes that I've been giving you the explanation for, and we'll give you the Strong's number just a little bit later, and maybe tomorrow night, because I really want to get in this and lay a gestalt. Now, Ashtoreth is a female goddess. She's mentioned in 1 Kings 11 and 5 and verse 33. She's mentioned in 2 Kings 23:13. So Ashtoreth was worshipped in the temple. We know that they had a, now I hate to say this, but there were 24 courses of the priest and they only needed 12. Why would they have 24? Well, 12 was to Yahweh and the other 12 was to the goddess Ashtoreth. In other words, they wanted Yahweh married, and they preached this, the reason that the Canaanite fertility god worship was so prevalent. We know that their main gods, again, were called Balaam, that's the male, and the Baalot, which is the ladies, or Ashtoreth, singular, usually known by the personal plural name of Ashtoreth. The god of the city of Shechem. Now remember, I told you the other night that Solomon loved many strange women. Did you know that he went and rebuilt the original place of worship where the creator Yahweh had announced that this would be the place that he would place his name, not in Jerusalem, the city of Jezebel, but in the city of Shechem, which is the city of Salem, or the city of peace. And that was in Shechem, and when old Solomon went up there and rebuilt it, he erected a place for Yahweh and a place for his god or his goddess Ashtoreth. And the Israelites, who had been absorbed peacefully in this city under Joshua, it was called Baal Berith, or Lord of the Covenant on one hand, and Elberith, God of the Covenant, on the other. That's basically the two names, one for the Canaanites. And you say, well, I just can't believe that Solomon would do something that. Well, then you need to have to go back and tear out 1 Kings chapter 11, the first 15 verses. It will tell you of the Baal worship, if you will. And ladies and gentlemen, this Baal worship was, I mean, it was prevalent. Solomon, now he was a wise man. He lost the spirit flow in his heart because Yahweh promised him to set on around the throne because he swore to David that he would let him sit there. And in order not to lie, he had to wait till he died. But he couldn't wait for this man to die. This man turned out to be a perverter, an idolater, a fornicator. And we could go on and on, and I'm going to give you the scriptures of exactly how he did this, or why he did it. And the translators, as I've said, like the rest of us, they had personal bias when they did this. So they put in, "There shall be no whore or sodomite of the sons of Israel," Deuteronomy 27, and they left out the word Kodesh. And Kodesh, and that there would be no female temple prostitutes in the temple. Now, why would it warn us? Why would it tell us not to have any female prostitutes in the temple, or to have any male prostitutes? Now, listen to this one now. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. "And there were also sodomites," Kodesh, "in the land." In other words, that's male prostitutes. "And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel." Now remember, Jerusalem, the place where he was crucified, according to Revelation 11, is called Sodom. Now, can you really believe that? I mean, this is awesome. The word abomination is connected to sodomites. It's an abomination to Yahweh. Were they doing something down in the temple that earned that temple the reputation in heaven as being a city of sodomites? That's male prostitutes. Now, do you know that the book of Leviticus is against male prostitutes or fornicators? Esau was a fornicator, and we're going to include him in here. So, every evil work was being conducted in the temple at Jerusalem. This is the place that Yahweh cried out against that temple. Just like the man of God that we're going to talk about later, when he cried against the temple that Jeroboam, that Shechem had built, he cried against it and said that Yahweh would raise up a king, a righteous king, that would burn the bones of these prostitutes and these sodomites that had practiced this abomination. Now, what is the word abomination? Tovah. That's a Hebrew word, Tovah. It specifically refers to an idolatrous activity, and at the heart of such activities were the temple prostitutes referenced here, but mistranslated as sodomites. When you read it without the mistranslation, this verse now makes complete sense. "And there were also male temple prostitutes in the land." That's how it should have been written. Or translated. "And there were," see if it had told you that. You just thought there's a few whores running around in the country selling their bodies. No. This is far deeper. Did you know that Yahweh saved one of these temple prostitutes out of that temple there at Jerusalem? She was working in this temple as a Kodesha, and she had seven devils in her body. She was so filled with the satanic powers of these Canaanites who had infested and taken over the temple it into an abomination or a to'avah, to the idolatrous activities that were going on there, he saved this woman, and her name was Mary Magdalene, a prostitute. She was a Kodesha, probably given in the Hebrew, and the proper translation was that the land had become full of male temple prostitutes. The word abomination is tovah, and there were also male and female prostitutes in the land. These male prostitutes did according to all of the abominations, that is, the idolatrous acts of the nations which Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. Now, again, 1 Kings 15, verse 12. Let me go through this just a little bit as we go on down the road toward determining what was going on in Jerusalem. What made our Creator so angry? He saved the prostitute right out of that temple. And ladies and gentlemen, you will not believe the reference books that you can get that, of course, you can't get it from the King James because of the mistranslations. They won't call it male temple prostitutes. They won't call it the Kodesh Sodomites. And they surely will not refer to these Sodomites as the temple prostitutes or the male prostitutes or the female prostitutes. They're not going to tell you about that. And I'm going to tell you why it was so popular, even in the days of the Messiah. This fornicated seed who inspired the people to worship this way and to be attracted in this thing. And 1 Kings 15:12, and he took away the sodomite out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. Once again, the connection between the sodomites, or Kodesh, and the worship of idols, leading directly to the word Kodesh, which means male temple prostitutes. He took away the male temple prostitutes out of the land, and that means that they were employed at the temple. Now, this is a temple that most people call holy. Mm-hmm. It was a thriving business. The Bible uses the word in the King James of the New Testament, merchandising. Well, you can merchandise in selling flesh. They sold turtle doves for offerings. And then the people that wanted to go down to these ritual cults of the temple prostitutes, male and female. That would be an abomination for a male to service a male in the temple. And yet they would do that. They would literally have anal sex and homosexual activities regarding the temple. And this was cried out against the sodomites, which remained, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46 now, and the remnant of the sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. And the remnant of the male prostitutes, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. Now, that's the two interpretations. One in the King James would say, and the remnant of the sodomites. And the proper pronunciation in the Hebrew, and the remnant of the male prostitutes. Male prostitutes. Servicing males. Now, it was true that the females were there to be serviced, and what they would do, they would pass their seed. This is the worship of Moloch and the evil of Moloch. And the reason they put Did you know that the Bible, we're getting into a little bit of this, and that the goddess of Ashtoreth, that the males that came up there to worship in the temple, they could literally cast their money into the temple treasury of merchandising and pick them out of a female goddess. Now, she was supposed to be a holy woman. Yeah. Yeah, they had convinced Israel that the females had been consecrated, and that if you went in and offered your first seed, the strength of your sperm, into their holy womb, that would be accepted as an offering. Fire means the electrical discharge of the body, and that's what that's all about, ladies and gentlemen. And so then, this practice became so prevalent. And notice this now, ladies and gentlemen. In the days of the Messiah, this practice was still going on. Now, Baal and his sexually passionate sister consort, which was the Baalots, are significant in the creation of the world and the renewal of nature. They taught that if you would practice in spiritual holy places the act of bringing forth life, if you would offer your first seed offering to Moloch, having passed through the fire, in other words, you go through the womb of the female prostitute, and then that would be an offering to the gods, and the gods would analyze the semen, and if it was good and you were to be received, then you could go out and have the children of your choice that will be blessed by Baal. And the groves that sprung up around all over the country of Israel, they actually tore down the temple of Yahweh at Shechem. Now, I told you that Solomon went back up and rebuilt it, but he didn't build it back to Yahweh completely. He put 24 courses. David was the practice in this also. They put 24 courses, 12 for Yahweh and 12 for the goddess. And it became a ritual consort for the creation of the world and the renewal of nature through the spiritual transference of sperm through the electrical discharge of the male and the Balaam and the Balak gods and goddesses of the earth were believed to be the revitalizers of the forces of nature upon which agriculture depended. The revitalization process involved a sacred marriage, replete with sexual, symbolic, and actual activities between men, representing the Balaam, and the sacred temple prostitutes, representing the Baalots. Cultic ceremonies involving sexual acts between male members of the agricultural communities and sacred prostitutes dedicated to the Balaam were focused on the Canaanite concept of sympathetic magic. As the Balaam, they had been taught, Israel abandoned Yahweh. They forsook his altars. And they went to the groves and they practiced their sexual magic. And through the actions of these selected men, both symbolically and actually impregnated the sacred prostitutes in order to reproduce mankind, or also it was believed that the Balaam, as gods of the weather and the earth, would send the rains, often identified with semen, to the earth so that it might yield abundant harvest and grains and fruits. And the Canaanite religion incorporating such fertility myths are represented in the mythological texts of the ancient city modern throughout Syria in the north, and throughout the high god of El and his consorts, as the Baal groves sprang up all over the Middle East, not only in Israel. But it was a fashion form that the people really believed worked. And the god of this world, Satan, blessed the countries around about. Israel was cursed for doing these things. Yahweh cut off the rain. And they feared Yahweh, and they would abandon him and his altars and his temple, and they would flock to the Canaanite altars and groves and practice this demonic, sexually passionate consorts of the creation of the world and the renewal of nature to bring the rains upon their harvest. And it paid off. Did you remember that Yahweh said, I will test you? Have nothing to do with the religion of the Canaanite? It proved to be a strong attraction to the less sophisticated and nomadic-oriented Israelite tribes. And they flocked. The Bible was repeat and often. Many Israelites succumbed to the allurements of the fertility-laden rituals and practices of the Canaanite religion. This is why it was so popular. Part of the cause, it was new and different from the Yahwistic religion, and possibly because of a tendency of a rigorous faith and ethic to weaken under the influence of sexual attractions. And the strongest sin attraction in the world is of a sexual nature. We're so susceptible. The religion was a strong attraction. And it brought away the Israelites over to the Canaanites, and they began to live in closer contact with each other, often incorporating their agricultural and their commerce. And the Sodomites, these are the male prostitutes, filled the temples along with the female prostitutes and serviced the needs of the Israelites, promising them liberty when they themselves become corrupt and abominable. And I said, Yahweh saved one of them out of the temple, and her name was Mary Magdalene. Ladies and gentlemen, it is incredible how that these things are happening to us today. Now, let's go on just a little bit further. Now, we find the presence of idol worship, and I looked up in Wikipedia, immediately after Asa's ascension to the throne, he deprived his adulterous grandmother, Melchiah, of the title of Queen Mother. And she's mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 16 through 18, of Queen Melchiah. We read, she is called Mahiah. She married King Rehoboam. Oh, wait a minute now. And is mentioned as his most beloved wife. Who was Rehoboam? He was the son of Solomon, the adulterous worshiper that brought in and approved of adulterous worship of the Canaanite gods of the land and filled the temple, even the temple of Yahweh, with the ideal that Yahweh needed a wife. You would need one to procreate. You would need a male and female to be born or to have a strong genetic offspring. And it's true in nature, ladies and gentlemen. Just you take a dog, a female, and she's called a bitch. When she gets in heat, she'll go through the community and attract dogs of all sorts. As long as they're dogs, she'll attract them all because she gives off a scent that she's in heat. We use the word heat. That's fire. That's a symbol of Moloch again. And only the strong, this is nature's way of providing a genetic strong breed, only the strong survive. It is the strongest dogs in the pack that get to mate with the bitch. Same way with the religion of the Second Chronicles, chapter 15, she was the queen, and she married King Rehoboam and is mentioned as his most beloved wife. She became the mother of Abijah, the next king, and she lived after her grandson Asa became king and was removed from her throne of lady because she was worshiping idols. And as for Jehoshaphat, he devoted his life to destroying the idols and restoring the worship of Yahweh. And as we have read in 1 Kings, Jehoshaphat still had to deal with the remaining idol worshiping sex cults, and this is what's being discussed. In 2 Chronicles 15:16, that he removed and deprived his grandmother of the title of Queen of Heaven. And Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, who went up north to Shechem and rebuilt the original place of worship and placed the abomination of bringing in the Canaanite god of fertility cult worship and the Sodomites who filled the land. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're deeper in this than you ever thought you would be. Notice this. And in 2 Kings 23, verse 7, and he break down the house of the male prostitutes, Kadesh. Here in the King James, it said, and he break down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of Yahweh, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there was something going on back there. Sexual practices and in a sense, a lot of it goes on today in our churches. You just don't know about it. You'd never hear about it, but it goes on all the time. It's a place to meet the opposite sex. I'm telling you, it is something that just blows you away. I'm telling you, it really is. When you really get into religion and you see the error of the wicked, once again now, 2 Kings 23:7, read it for yourself. And the righteous king, Jehoshaphat, break down the houses of the male prostitutes and the female prostitutes, where the women worked feverishly, hanging the woven curtains for the grove, where that they would partition them off, and the males would come in, the Israelites, to be serviced with these holy women, such as Mary Magdalene, out of whom was a total of seven demonic Canaanite Shemot. And if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you'll see seven nations is listed here, and that's the seven devils of abomination that she was practicing. It's awesome. And the Messiah took away, overturned the tables on the money changers. Now, in merchandising, they were also selling privileges for male and female. If you were a male and you wanted to lay with a male, you'd pay your fee and go in, and they would promise you holy sex. If you wanted a female, you'd practice your art. They practice it right next, adjacent to the temple. That's why that Yahweh came in and used the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, to to tear down the temple and destroy it because they were practicing the art of the male and female prostitution right next door to the temple. It was a place where that you went, you take your choice, and most of Israel favored going to the temple of Baal. They gave up the worship of Yahweh, who would chastise them as a father, for doing these evil practices. Yahweh would hold the whole nation responsible, and he would withhold rain, bring in famine, and they really got turned on to the countries around about that were blessed by Baal. And the practice of Asherah, which is a feminine name from the Hebrew of 0833, if you want to look her up. It says groves for idol worship. Now, for groves for what? Idol worship. What was they worshiping? The female goddess. A Babylon, Canaanite goddess of fortune and happiness. The supposed consort of Baal and her images have been found even in religious sites all over the Middle East, particularly in Israel, where we say that they were worshiping Yahweh, and the evidence is that they were worshiping also. At the same time they came in to give their offerings, they would give one to Ashtoreth, the goddess. Her images were sacred. She was a goddess. The sacred trees or poles set up near an altar was the phallus symbol that is adopted now by the Christian churches. Oh, my. Oh, here I go. Meddling in the Christian affairs. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been given so much misinformation with the unexplained. This is why that I teach on these things, to show you that you need to be careful and not pervert yourself, and that Christ literally took cords and whipped out the money changers, and they were selling indulgences, if you will, to have the privileges of having the male or the female holy prostitutes, temple prostitutes, that's the word for it, that what the Bible calls sodomites. And you know the Bible is it's a washed word, if you will, sodomite. That's why that they use that word in the Greek in Revelation chapter 8, where I read you, that the place where they crucified the Lord was called Sodom. Is there a reason? Well, I'm giving it to you. What was the sin of Sodom? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got any doubts about it now, you shouldn't have, but if you've got any doubts about it, would you like to talk to Mary Magdalene and see what kind of a illicit affair she was having with? She'd been talked into becoming a female prostitute. It was an honor. Now, I want to ask you a question. Remember when Judah, who produced the Canaanite offspring into the house of Israel? This is where a lot of us got into the temple worship of the day that Christ came, because if you will read St. John chapter 8, verse 44, you will see what Pastor Bud is talking about. Even your Messiah, the one you call Jesus, take his word for it. He expanded on it in Revelations chapter 2 and 9 and Revelations chapter 3 and 9. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a foregone conclusion that there's something rotten in Denmark here. And Ashtoreth mentioned three times in Scripture. And when she's mentioned in Scripture, she is linked to the sin of Moloch. And Ashtoreth is mentioned 12 times. Ashtoreth and Ashtoreth. In the Old Testament, the word is used as the name of a town in ancient Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 4. And in Joshua chapter 9, verse 10. In chapter 12, verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 12, and 13:31, and 1 Chronicles 6 and 71, the towns were named after the fertility goddess of Ashtoreth. In other words, Canaanite worship, towns, and temples prevalent, and the Israelites learned the ways of the heathen. It represented the male principle of life and the reproduction, while Ashtoreth represented the female principle of fertility. And that's what sex is all about, to reproduce. In this case, Satan had designed a religion in worship in the groves where they wove these fabrics of curtains, and males paid to have their services of having sex with a female prostitute or the male. Take your choice. This was an abomination to Yahweh. But I see that my time has come and gone, my heavens. Boy, I just feel like I've been, I just wish I had another hour and a half or 2 hours that I could preach this gospel to you tonight. And notice, in the Bible, there is a way that seemeth right. We've whitewashed everything, and we've made it pure. But in the Bible, you can bet that the righteous who shunned these places flee the very appearance of evil. Even into the New Testament, and we could teach on Jezebel for a couple of hours and what she was doing. Same thing. She had female prostitutes. All those that Elijah killed, you know who they were? They were male and female, the prostitutes. In the temple of Baal, where they worshipped feverishly, and where they had turned into idolatrous worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. Have we got any of that going on here today, Pastor Buddy? Have we been deceived by a people that claims to be God's chosen people? Of Revelations 3 and 9 and 2 and 9? And John 8:44, don't you think it's time to reconsider? Don't you think it's time to reach out and let Yahweh touch your heart with the truth? I know this is a hard message. I've resisted preaching it for a while, but Yahweh said preach it. But I'd rather be in here tonight, his man down in Texas. Man, I really enjoy this man. What a gift this man has got, his family. This is his album. And this is a song that he wrote. America, there's something wrong with you. I think we've gone over to Baal worship. Hollywood's full of it. Every town's full of it. We have committed the abomination of desolation. It causes us to lose our power with Yahweh. You can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to hear this series, you can order the series of Two Jerusalems. And you'll know why that we've got two. Because they've got two temples, one to Baal and one to Yahweh. One from the male side of worship, and the other the female side of Ashtoreth. Solomon set it up, and that's the abomination that when you see it there in the place where it ought not be, went right up to Shechem and placed it there, and that was the final abomination. And Yahweh divorced both houses and sent them packing. Oh my. You can write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. I love you tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary tonight and Brother Paul. And we love you. love you guys very much, and we send this out according to your faith. If you received it with grace and it's helped you, remember us in your tithe and offerings. We love you. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world. WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world on the transmitting Julian South. I love you.